In today's gospel, Satan comes and tempts Jesus. He tempts him on the basis of hunger, just plain hunger. He tempts him on the basis of greed. He tries to get him to worship him so that he can have all the kingdoms of the world. But finally, he tempts Jesus on the basis of pride, basically saying, prove that you're the Son of God. Show your power. Prove it. But Jesus chooses the path of humility. And I think that we need to turn to Jesus, and we need to appreciate the example he gives us, because of all the sins, the sin of pride is the most dangerous. It is the most devious. It is the most hidden. Quite often we're aware of our other sins. We freely acknowledge, oh yeah, I fail in this area, I fail in that area, and it's easy to see that. But so often it's not easy to see the pride that dwells within us. That's why we need to be very prayerful. We need to always run to Christ, always beg Christ and pray to Christ for the gift of wisdom so that we can see within ourselves, and for the gift of humility so that we can be humble like Christ was humble in today's gospel. Pride is a very dangerous sin. It's even more dangerous than sins of impurity. Now, sins of impurity are bad, don't get me wrong, but pride is even worse, and pride leads to even worse sins than sin. When we say the word sin, that's the first thing that comes to mind. But it's certainly not the only sin we can commit, and I would say the sin of pride is even more dangerous. Now, we all struggle with pride. We all know that the devil tries to tempt us as individuals. He tries to fill us as each individual person. He tries to fill us with pride. But the devil doesn't stop there. He also tries to fill whole countries, whole nations with pride, to fill them with sinful pride. So whole societies can become infected with certain ideas, certain attitudes, which are simply very sinful and very prideful. And quite often we can kind of absorb these attitudes, we can kind of absorb these philosophies, so to speak, without realizing it, because they're all around us. It's all around us. It just fills the very air we breathe in. Society just so completely filled with certain prideful ideas that it's easy for all of us to just absorb them without even knowing it, without realizing that it's simply the sin of pride. It's not some new and exciting philosophy. It's just the sin of pride. And so I think I will focus on that today, because sometimes it's easier to resist the sin of pride if someone can point out a particular sin that is out there, that is easy to fall into. And sometimes if someone can point that out, it's easier to avoid it. And so I would like to talk about some of the sinful ideas, some of the prideful ideas that our society has adopted, which are easy for individuals to pick up on. I would say one of the most prideful, one of the most sinful ideas that has developed in the past, 70 years, I would say, maybe 100 years, is this whole idea of personal morality, that we can all make up our own morality. The mantra is, no one has the right to judge me. I can do what I want. I can decide for myself what is right and what is wrong. And in fact, I don't even believe in sin anymore. Sin is so old-fashioned. Sin is an old idea. It's done. It's gone. There's no such thing as sin. And there's also this, going along with that, is this idea that there's no such thing as judgment after death. People have convinced themselves that it just won't ever happen. I can recall a conversation I once had where a student said to me, well, my mother doesn't believe in hell. And I said, oh? And they said, well, yeah, she thinks that if someone's really bad, they'll still go to heaven. They will just go to a lower heaven. And that represents our society today. Our society has just rejected the whole idea of sin, the whole idea of judgment, the whole idea of heaven and hell. Well, they don't mind heaven. They don't mind that part. But hell, people just say, I just don't believe in that anymore. But that is just the sin of pride. It is very prideful for society, for anyone, to say that I can make up for myself what is right and what is wrong, and I can decide for myself what is good and what is bad. Notice how similar it is to what the devil says in the first reading. And when the devil says, ye will become like gods, and you will know what is right and what is wrong. Well, it's even worse today. Instead of saying you will know what's right and wrong, the devil is telling people you can decide what's right and what's wrong. You don't need God. You don't need the church. All you have to do is decide for yourself what is right and what is wrong. But my brothers and sisters, this is a lie. This is just the sin of pride. I know it's a very popular idea. I know it's very common out there. I know our society as a whole has basically adopted it. But it's not true. And it's just the sin of pride. In fact, it's pretty much the same sin of pride that Adam and Eve committed in the first reading. The fact is, we don't get to decide by ourselves what is right and what is wrong. And it makes sense, actually. And there's really two reasons for that. There's two reasons why we don't get to decide what's right and what is wrong. The first reason is just that it's absurd. Because God created the universe. God created the world. God created the human race. God created each of us as individuals. God gave us life. We would not be alive without him. We would not continue to live without him giving us life. We are completely dependent upon God. God created the food that we eat. He created the air that we breathe. He created everything that we have that's good. Everything around us that we need to survive, God created. We are completely, totally dependent upon God, who created, and basically God owns the whole universe. And since God created the universe, then that means God gets to decide what's right and wrong. It's pretty logical. If he created the thing, he gets to decide how the thing runs. He gets to make the rules. How can I, as a creature who's created by God, and God created me, gave me life, gave me everything, I would not exist without God. How can I turn to God and say, God, I don't need your opinion about how I live my life. I can decide for myself how to live my life. Well, that's just plain absurd. I'm not God. Sometimes I wish I was God, but I'm not. Certainly, if I was God, there would be $1 billion in my bank account. Well, there's not, and the reason is because I'm not God. God is God. I'm not God. And God makes the rules. I don't make the rules. So I can't turn around and tell God that I don't need what he has to say. I don't need his church. I don't need your church to tell me what to do either. I can just decide for myself what I am going to do. So that's the first reason. It's just absurd. There's no basis whatsoever to think that we can make up our own morality. That's just the sin of pride. The other reason is because God's laws are good for us. You know, God's laws are often unpopular. Certainly that's the case. There's a lot of God's laws that people just don't like. But God made those laws for a reason. And sometimes we don't understand them, but here's the question we all need to ask ourselves. Do we have to understand them to obey them? Quite often, all of you parents know this, quite often when you're raising your children, you tell them to do things that they just don't understand. The kids get angry, but you tell them to do it anyway, and you can't explain it to them. Like, for example, kids, young kids especially, don't understand the whole concept of nutrition. They don't know why broccoli is better than candy bars. As far as they're concerned, candy bars are better than broccoli. well, I mean, if they're 3 years old, you can't really explain to them the whole idea of nutrition and how cells need protein to build up themselves and how we're healthier if we eat broccoli rather than candy bars. So God, with God, it's the same way. We don't always understand why he makes the rules that he makes. But why should we then decide not to obey them? God's laws are good for us. They're meant to protect us. They're meant to protect us quite often from ourselves. We may not like them. They may be difficult at times. But they really are for the best. Children really are better off eating broccoli. They really are. They may not like it all the time, but they turn out better in the end. And so God's rules are the same way. So God does not just make up rules because he wants to ruin our fun. He actually cares about us. He actually wants us to thrive, to be happy, to be healthy, to make it to heaven. So God gives us these rules, sometimes unpopular, sometimes difficult, but they are for the best. And isn't it such a great sign of love and trust when we say that we'll obey anyway? When we tell God, I don't understand this rule, but I'm going to obey anyway. That is so pleasing to God, and it's better for us in the end. So my brothers and sisters, even though a certain idea is popular, even though a certain idea has been adopted by the rest of society, even though it's so culturally acceptable, that doesn't make it right. That doesn't make it safe. And quite often, it's just the sin of pride. It's just the sin of pride. I mean, 200 years ago, people actually believed that they could own black people, that black people were just property. A lot of people thought that was just okay, and that was just fine. Was it right? No. It wasn't. Sometimes popular opinion is wrong. Sometimes what popular opinion feeds us is just sin, especially the sin of pride. So my brothers and sisters, it is very important for us. We need to put aside this idea. We need to put aside this idea which, though it's popular, it's just pride, it's just sin, that we can decide for ourselves what is right and what is wrong. We don't get to decide that. God gets to decide that, and we have to respect God's authority. But also we need to understand that God just doesn't make up rules. They have a reason. They're there to make us safe. They are there to protect us. So my brothers and sisters, really the whole point of Lent, the whole point of confession of sins, the whole point of giving up things and making sacrifices, we may not realize it, but it really is meant to make us happier people. That's because the closer we grow to God, the happier we become. And perhaps we need to remind ourselves that God gives us rules in the end to make us happier people. Let it be so. Amen.